Matthew Leckie puts Australia into the quarterfinals.
That is a magnificent goal by Owen Mabil.
Oh, Matty Ryan, wow! Keeping it out of the top corner like Superman.
Hello and welcome to the Socceroos podcast, where we go one-on-one with your favourite players to keep you connected with the Socceroos. My name is Michael Putterflam. On the latest episode, we chat with Socceroo cap number 574, Trent Sainsbury. It's been an eventful couple of years for the Socceroos defender. From the World Cup to the Netherlands to Israel and Belgium, Trent and his family have had experiences all Australian footballers would dream of. Trent shares some funny and inspirational stories from his travels, explains his football aspirations going forward for club, country and his grassroots team, and he looks ahead to hopefully reuniting with his Socceroos family in camp. He also explains how Nikita Rukavica has earned the title of King Nicky in Israel, and why he's not surprised his close mate Matty Ryan has achieved his childhood dream of playing for Arsenal. So without further ado, here's the full chat with Trent.
Trent, thank you for having a chat today. Firstly, how's everything going with you, and you know, where are you in the world today?
In the world today, I'm in Belgium. The weather's actually turned it on today, so it's nice to... I think we'll take a walk outside for the first time in probably about 3 months. Everything's good with me. Can't complain. Family's happy and healthy, and so am I.
So you're in Kortrijk, is that correct? Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, Kortrijk.
Kortrijk. Okay, cool. And I was looking at some pictures of it and it looked pretty picturesque by the river and stuff like that. How are you enjoying living there?
Yeah, it's not a very fast-paced lifestyle here, which is actually, it suits me. You know, like you said, picturesque. We live very close to the water, and there's lots of parks around for the families and stuff. So it's definitely a place that suits me and my family at this moment.
And on the football side of things, you know, how has it been joining the team, and how you find the level of football in Belgium?
It's different from what I've experienced everywhere else, but that's one of the main reasons I wanted to come here. I wanted to experience something different. Joining in with the team is quite easy. I'm quite a social person, so I can get to know people quite easily and obviously open up to them. The level is it's high. It's very physical. I'd probably say it's one of the closest leagues to, you know, the English style of football that you're going to get. But yeah, definitely some good talent here and some decent teams.
How do you feel playing in that style of football? Obviously, also pretty good with the ball at your feet and stuff like that, but how does the physical side suit you?
Yeah, I've had to adapt a little bit. Obviously, I'm not the most physical defender out there. I like to play with the ball a little bit more, but I think that's one of the things that I can, you know, develop and add to my game. I'm getting to the point in my career now where I kind of have to try and be the polished and finished article. So I'm enjoying the challenge at the moment.
And I mean, you've been able to go on quite a bit of a journey around Europe. It seems like must have been an awesome time, especially I guess this last couple of years from PSV to Maccabi Haifa and now to Kortrijk. You're able to kind of just like step through some of the highlights of, you know, the last couple of years and, you know, what that journey's been, just, you know, living the dream in Europe, really, and something any Australian footballer would love to do.
Yeah, obviously with PSV, a big club in Europe and such a massive history, I got the experience and the chance to go and play there. And, I missed the boat. I think when we first started the season, I was late in because of, my contract in China wasn't exactly finished yet. So, missed the boat with the pre-season. So I was a little bit on the back foot. Then an injury stopped me from, you know, claiming a spot in the team, I guess. And then the rhythm started for the boys and I kind of missed that. So it took me a while to get going. But once I did, you know, it was a great experience. I played Champions League matches there. So that's something I could tick off the bucket list, I guess. And then moved on to Maccabi Haifa for the year, which was, you know, for me and my wife was an incredible adventure. I think there's not many people that can say they've lived in Israel and got to experience what they have to offer there, which was, it was amazing. It was a beautiful place and I really enjoyed my time there. And I'd have to say it was probably the best fans I've played in front of. They're really crazy. And then obviously now you're on to Kortrijk, and Kortrijk was more of a, it was more of a move to just try and get match minutes, but also as former family. Because my wife, we're expecting our second child now in early April. So it was more of a, you know, get the family into an environment where they can be most settled and thrive.
No, that's awesome, mate. And I guess at Maccabi Haifa last year, you got the chance to play along an Australian who's been in, I guess, red hot form. Was in a fan vote for, you know, one of the best Asian players for the year. What was it like playing with Nikita Rukavica? And, you know, for someone in such great form, like, how was he received by the fans over there?
Yeah, King Nikki. He is the king of Israel, basically. And for good reason. I mean, any chance in front of goal. And I mean, any chance in front of goal. He will put it on target, put it that way. He's just deadly finisher. Super quick for his age as well. I mean, he's rapid fast. And I think he's been unlucky over the couple of years not to be in the national team. But, you know, if he keeps his form up like he is now, I don't think there'd be any question about him being in that squad. But, yeah, like, it was a pleasure to play with him. Obviously, with that Aussie connection, he helped me settle in a lot quicker and, you know, sort of teach me the ropes of Israel. Because it's not like every other country that you go to. There are certain rules and different sort of situations you've got to deal with. But, yeah, he was, you know, one of the good guys over there to sort of hang off and you know, get free stuff with as well. Because every time we go anywhere, I'd be like, oh, Rukavica. So, yeah, no, it was a great experience. And, you know, I was happy to be able to, you know, experience it alongside him on the pitch as well.
Don't have to go into too much detail, but you mentioned a couple of times, you know, the fans were pretty incredible. And just that experience of being in Israel was a bit of an interesting one. Be able to just kind of maybe even tell a story or an anecdote of, like, what life was like over there.
You know, there's a few stories that come to mind, but I'll just keep it simple. It's just to give you an idea, on game day, you know, I know people say this, but you could feel the energy and the electricity in the air. And we played some of the best football. This is what fans have been telling us and people inside the club. We played the best football that we've been playing in generations. So it was to be able to hear that, and then you get the fans building the energy and behind you. And when you scored that goal, I think, we won, it was 5-1 against one of their biggest rivals, or 5-0. And every single person inside that stadium was jumping up and down. It felt like there was an earthquake. It was ridiculous.
Pretty incredible experience. How does it compare to other fans who played it in front of around the world?
Nah, honestly, they were top. They were the best I played in by a long way as well. They just live and breathe that football club, and it's their heart and soul. So I think, I can't think of any fans off the top of my head that will come close to them.
And I guess along with King Nikki, you know, there's another Socceroo who's been doing pretty awesome, who you're pretty close with and is flying high, and Matt Ryan. I guess, what have you made of him getting a move to the club that he, you know, grew up dreaming of playing for, Arsenal?
Yeah, obviously, with Matty Ryan going to Arsenal, it's a huge deal for Australian football. And I can't think of anyone that deserves it more than him. You know, he is the ultimate professional, sometimes too professional. He needs to let his guard down sometimes. But I've been with Matty now I've known him since we were probably 17, I think. So, you know, it's been a hell of a journey being able to watch what he's been through and where he's been in his career. So it's always been a pleasure. But to be able to see him go to the highest level, it's something that you have to just sit back and admire and smile, because, you know, like I said, no one deserves it more than him for the hard work and effort that he puts in.
I guess by the same token, you've been able to share the pitch with him and some, you know, probably your fondest memories as well. I'll get to, like, the A-League Championships in a second, but I guess representing your country at the highest level, you know, when you were 17, I mean, when you're 17 and you're getting to play with each other and getting to know each other, and, you know, did you ever conceive that you'd both be representing your country, you know, winning an Asian Cup, playing at the World Cup together?
when we were 17, 18, I don't think we were thinking that far ahead. I think we were probably looking at what labouring job we're going to get in the next couple of years. but, you know, being able to, like, share those experiences, like you said, we went with the Mariners, we kind of grew up and matured there and, you know, finished on a high note, winning the championship, and then both went our separate ways into Europe and, you know, and then taking that step into the national team and now being in part of the senior group there. And, you know, it's always nice to sort of have those comrades in your team and people you can rely on, you know, they've got your back in any situation.
I guess speaking of your time at the Mariners together, winning, you know, a championship, winning the grand final, alongside you there as well was, you know, Mitch Duke, who's currently in the Socceroos, as well as Graham Arnold as the coach. So, I mean, that Mariners team had a bunch of young players as well that were coming up and went on to, you know, greater and bigger things. But I guess if you look at the A-League today and the start of the A-League season, the Mariners themselves have been once again kind of 7 or 8 years later producing some really good young players, which has been leading to some really awesome results for them. I mean, firstly, like, how good is it to kind of see the Mariners, who haven't had too much to in the last 7 or 8 years, getting those results? And I guess, like, what does it say about the potential of, you know, smaller clubs like the Mariners, as well as just clubs throughout the A-League, to produce quality Australian players who can go overseas and when they represent the country?
I think when you speak about young players coming through, obviously they've got to have a little bit of quality, otherwise they wouldn't be playing for the team. But you've also got to have that right mix of older heads in the team to show the young boys the ropes and, you know, how to act professional. And when times get tough, you know, they sort of bear the weight on their shoulders. And we had that at the Mariners when we won the championship. We had the great older guys there leading us young guys, and the young guys showing them all the energy so they could try and keep up. And now you've got that again at the Mariners. So you've got all the young, enthusiastic young boys and the older boys like Matty Simon are leading the charge. And it's a great mix that they've got there at the moment. And, you know, everyone wants to see the Mariners do well. So especially me.
And I guess, you know, it's been a pretty weird world recently. Leagues around the world have been able to start up. But it's been 16 months since a lot of the soccer has been able to get together. So I guess when that time finally ends and the squad's able to reunite, what's that time going to be like?
Yeah, like you said, it's been a long time since we've been back in camp together at Socceroos. So I'm not sure if it's going to be kind of like a Baywatch moment where it's a slow motion run and everyone's hugging, or if it's going to be a little bit standoffish and skittish. But I think the boys will be happy to be back in camp. It'll be like a big old family reunion. And I know everyone's excited to get back in that team and in that environment.
And I guess also the prospect of getting back on the pitch and continuing the road to the World Cup is on offer. I mean, like, obviously getting off the pitch would be so exciting. But I guess also in the context of looking ahead to potentially playing another World Cup, what's, you know, how excited are you for that challenge?
Yeah, I had the taste of it in Russia. We had the crazy lead-up games as well because of obviously the extra qualification games that we had to do, which made it even more special. But I've had that taste now, and it's something that, you know, in the careers that we have that are so short, you want to experience as much of it as possible. So there's always that hunger and desire to get to the next one. And, you know, I think obviously with the way the world is at the moment, it's going to be different, the next one, but at the same time, different doesn't make it worse. It could be even better.
And I guess beyond that, you know, what still do you want to achieve in your career? What are your goals?
Honestly, at the moment, I really just want to get back in the national team. I'm playing here in Europe. My family's happy. So for me, you know, that's enough at the moment. I'm not looking too far ahead. I've done that in the past, and, you know, I thought I'd remain at one club, one or two clubs pretty much my whole career, and look how that turned out. So I know with football, you just cannot, you know, predict the future. So I'm looking now just at the short term, and that's getting back with the national team and playing games here at my club.
I came across a video of you talking about your grassroots journey, Armadale Soccer Club, and saying, you know, one day you'd love to represent them again. So what's the ultimate dream, you know, scoring the winner, and maybe not scoring the winner, but you know, winning an FFA Cup with Armadale one day.
Yeah, honestly, I've spoken to the wife about this. I said, you know, once we've retired from professional football and we go back to sort of the state league games, I'd love to go and spend a season there in Armadale or two, you know, and try and bring in as many of my soccer roommates as possible and win an FFA Cup. That'd be the ideal dream. I'd definitely love to go back and play in front of my friends and family. And my dad and all his mates, you know, I grew up supporting that club, and my dad and all his mates have been there since day one, supporting it. So, you know, shout out to the G-Bar and all the boys there. But that's one of the things I'd like to finish my career off.
So to finish up, I'm just going to run through some quick fire questions. Just give me one or two word answers.
Yep.
Got a random generator of about 30 questions that we get. What does representing the Socceroos and Australia mean to you?
Just means pride, you know, pride in people knowing that they've helped me get there.
What's the first Socceroos game you went to?
I think they played against Thailand in Canberra. It was an A-League selector side. I think it was at Thailand. I think they lost 2-1.
Favourite Socceroos World Cup goal?
I think it was Harry Kewell's. Harry Kewell's against Croatia? I think it was. Yeah. I was going pretty wild at that one. Man, that was years ago. Jesus.
Years ago. Favourite Socceroos game you've played in?
Favourite Socceroos game? Asian Cup Final 2015. Can't get over it. It was one of the proudest moments of my career.
Favourite Socceroo of all time?
Massalongo.
First Socceroos game you remember?
First Socceroos game I remember. You know, I've been told that my memory is terrible. First one I remember. No, I'm going to have to say it was the game I went to watch in Canberra. I was probably like 15. But yeah, I can't remember anything before that.
I think I know what the answer might be, but who's your best football friend?
Best football friend? Yeah. In the Socceroos setup, I'd have to say it'd be Mass.
So why are you and Mass so close?
We've been roommates for a very long time. And, you know, we've been through the ups and downs as well with the Socceroos, and, you know, just formed a close relationship over the years. And I think for the last maybe 2-3 years now, we've been available to get our own rooms, but we've kind of just stuck it out together. You know, and I will say it's a little bit my fault because of the fact that I'm terrible when it comes to alarms. So he is my alarm clock. But no, he's just one of the best people who've met in football.
So do you have to always have to have someone in any camp that's going to wake you up, or you always need someone else to wake you up?
I'm just, when it comes to alarms, if I set an alarm, I won't sleep because I'll be so paranoid that it's going to go off at any minute. So it's even the same here at home. I can't sleep with an alarm on. My wife, I have to wake me up.
Awesome. Favorite football moment?
Favorite football moment? Whoa, that's a tough one. You know, I do go back to Russia, World Cup, when we walked out on the pitch and the national anthem of Australia came on, and 80% of the crowd was in green and gold, and it was just ridiculous the amount of noise they made on that national anthem. And I remember I was trying to hide like the tears because I was like, I cannot believe I'm at this moment. And I was just trying to soak it all up. But that was pretty special moment for me. That was really... It's a moment that you kind of look back on and you think, wow, I actually got to experience that in my life.
And what did you think of all the fans who, you know, traveled to Russia and were going absolutely mental? Do you think that's just like the most Aussie thing to do ever?
I was thinking about it. Actually, at the time, I was standing there, just finished the National Anthem of Australia, and I was going, man, I would love to do that one day. Just travel and watch the boys, you know, have a good time. go with your friends and family, and you know, just support them, and you know, be a proud Australian.
Who's the best player you've played against?
Best player I've played against. It's a tough one as well. Harry Kane or Mauro Icardi. I'd probably say one of those two. They were ridiculously hard to mark. Harry Kane is just physically massive, super strong and really good with his feet. But Icardi's movement, he's just such an intelligent player. He just gets in positions that you just don't want to go into.
Best player you've played with?
There's been a few. I always say the one that I think is going to have the biggest future is Daniel Marlon, the striker at PSV now. As soon as he came to training with us, he's still only young now. I think he's only 21 or something, but he came into training with us at PSV, and I thought I said to everyone, wow, this kid's going to have a big, big future. And I think he'll get sold this year and probably be 50 million or something like that. But he was the most exciting player I've seen.
Recorded, we're going to track him now. Ryan Grant, mullet or no mullet?
Mullet. I know he did it for a good reason and everything, and you know, that kind of takes it away. You know, but at the same time, like, is that his Superman cape is just taken off, or who knows? We'll see. But yeah, Ryan Grant, mullet.
Challenges out there.
Pretty synonymous.
Who's your favourite A-League player of all time?
Favourite A-League player of all time? I've got a few of the Mariners boys I really enjoyed hanging around. But for me, I'd probably have to say it'd be John Hutchinson. He was one of the captain's sort of group leaders when I came into the Mariners, and he showed me the ropes, and I actually became his roommate, I think, in the second year I was there. We became quite close, and you know, he was my mentor, I guess, at that stage of my career.
What's the best phrase you've picked up while playing overseas?
If any of the people that understand Dutch, would be godverdomme. And I can't translate that on here, but let's just say it's very, very bad words.
Messi or Ronaldo?
Messi is just so gifted, but Ronaldo is just the purest of athletes, and that's what I like, because I don't think there'll ever be another Messi. There might be another Ronaldo, but for me, I think Ronaldo, just the way he's built himself up and his mindset and mentality is ridiculous. So I'd say Ronaldo.
Favourite player of all time?
I loved Frank Lampard. I loved the way he played. I loved how cool and calm he was on the ball. He'd probably be the number one for me.
All right. So let's finish it off with a couple more. But what's the best piece of advice you've received?
Best piece of advice I have received? Yeah, I don't know. I think it goes back to one of the simplest of things is, if you're not enjoying doing it, then you know, it's not for you. And I've kind of taken that on board. I think Kenny Lowe was... back in the day when I was thinking about like finishing up trying to become a professional footballer, he said to me, you know, you just got to find that love for the game again. He gave that back to me. I think if you're not enjoying it, then it's not for you.
And at what point did that happen for you?
Like I said, when I was 14 or 15, Kenny Lowe came in and, you know, brought me in and said, you know, just come down and have a couple training sessions with me and with the boys, and just try and find that love for the game again. There's no pressure here. There's just, you know, just try and be the best person you can be and best footballer. And I really wasn't going to. But my dad said, just go down and have a look and enjoy it and see what happens. And that was sort of when I kind of fell in love with football again and wanted to become super competitive at it. And since then, I've kind of looked at it. When I did get that contract at the Central Coast Mariners, I think a few people kind of looked at me and said, you know, you're a bit nonchalant, but that's just me. And it's worked against me quite a few times in my early parts of my career. And actually, I would say later in my career as well, but it's worked against me a little bit. But at the same time, it's just who I am. I just want to enjoy the game. I love the game. When I step on the pitch, I'm serious as anyone else. So, yeah, but I think I don't do it as a job now. I do it as a hobby.
What's your dream for Australian football after being someone who's loved and played the game so much?
A few things. I would love for Australian football to be the number one sport in Australia. I think that's very achievable. You know, obviously, it's a worldwide game, and none of the other sports in Australia are worldwide. There are some that obviously play overseas, but one that's going to touch every part of the globe is only football. Obviously, regulars at the World Cup every single campaign, and eventually, I'd like us to be, you know, one of the teams that people fear to play against. I know now that we've got a reputation as a very hard-working team, but I'd like us to be up there one day, you know, challenging for World Cups. And if you don't think big, you're not going to achieve big. And then more so back with the junior roots, I'd love for the game to be free to all participants. You know, nobody has to pay registration fees or, you know, buy their own kits and that sort of thing. I'd love for that to become the norm.
So, man, all those things sound like they would be incredible for Australian football, and hopefully we'll get there sooner rather than later. Thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Socceroos podcast with guest Trent Sainsbury. To learn more about Trent and other Socceroos, head to socceroos.com.au, as well as the social channels for all the latest news and videos on the team. Tune in next time for the Socceroos podcast and let us know on social media if there's players and questions you want answered. Until then, goodbye.
Matthew Leckie puts Australia into the quarterfinals.
That is a magnificent goal by Auer Mabil.
Oh, Matty Ryan, wow! Keeping it out of the top corner like Superman.